Since last week, demonstrators have camped out in Islamabad. Thousands of protesters demanding that Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to step down over alleged vote rigging in the 2013 parliamentary elections. Why are they demanding this now and not immediately after the elections? The rallies are led by cricket star turned politician Imran Khan and a cleric Tahir al-Qadri, who not only has vowed to keep up the sit-ins until Sharif resigns, but will march in Islamabad's red zone. This edition of the debate will discuss the political intentions of both Khan and Qadri, the role that the ISI may have in this, and further ask our guests whether it is a coincidence that rallies come as Pakistan's military is waging a major operation against local and foreign militants in the North Waziristan tribal region bordering Afghanistan.
Thousands of protesters have marched on Pakistan's parliament, located in Islamabad's red zone, which also hosts Western embassies as well as the residences of the Prime Minister and the President. Security was already tightened in the area before the march. The protesters are led by the cricketer-turned politician Imran Khan and head of Pakistan's Tehreek-e-Insaf, which is the third largest political party in the country. The march on the parliament seeks to mount pressure on Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to step down. It comes a day after Tehreek-e-Insaf decided to resign all seats in the federal parliament and a number of provincial assemblies. The protests led by Imran Khan have been ongoing in the capital Islamabad over the past several days. Separate anti-government demonstrations have also been led by cleric Tahir al-Qadri. Imran Khan and Qadri are accusing PM Sharif of corruption and rigging last year's elections. Imran Khan has rejected Sharif's proposal for a judicial investigation into alleged vote rigging. He has also ignored the government's call for talks. Qadri has also rejected the government's offer and has spoken of a revolution in Pakistan. Qadri says a government of technocrats must be established. Sharif became Prime Minister last June following a landslide victory in Pakistan's first democratic power transition. So far, there's no sign that he would heed the demands of his resignation.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. Political commentator Shahid Qureshi joins us from London. We have Vice President of Middle Eastern and South Asian Affairs from Stratford, Kamran Bukhari, who joins us from Ontario. Gentlemen, welcome. Shahid Qureshi, can you please tell us what is going on? We have these elections that were held back in 2013, and then you have 4 months left to the end of 2014. Many are asking why it take this long for these protests to take place, claiming vote rigging.
Well, I think they were the most rigged election in the whole of Pakistan's political history, when all the political parties claimed that there was a rigging in the elections, including the PMLN, the current ruling party, People's Party. All the parties said that the elections were rigged. Now, Mr. Imran's party, they went to courts and tribunals. They used all the available means within the constitutions to address the issue of rigging and mass kind of corruption into the establishing of the elections. So this is not a true democracy in Pakistan at the moment. It is just a dodgy democracy by dodgy Democrats and people who are, and especially the parties contesting these elections. They do not have a democracy among themselves. They are just like those monarchies or private limited companies CEOs who are appointed as the chairman of the party, and they are not willing to share the power even after the now 2013 elections were happened when Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, internet, all these things are quite modern, and the people were able to communicate with each other quite. Like, but on the other hand, when the elections, the claim is that 60 to 70,000 votes are unverified in almost or most of the election constituencies. Now, If that is the case, then in any country, the elections become null and void. But because of the situation which they were had at the time, the political parties said, we accepting the results, but we are not accepting the rigging, i.e. the corruption. So Imran Khan went all the avenues because he wanted to come out as saying that I have tried the courts, I've tried the election commission, I've tried everyone. And as he said in his speech yesterday, and I quote, he said that Nawaz Sharif allegedly bought all the people who were contesting the election, the election commission, the judges, the jury. He bought everyone. He paid the price for everyone. Now, this is not a democracy in a real sense.
Okay.
And the
Let's bring in Kamran Bukhari, and I guess we're going to have Kamran Bukhari get your reaction to the claims made there by Shahid Qureshi, because well, some claim that Khan never really had that much of a significant number of seats, and also international observers who have said that this previous election, well, it's been the cleanest in the country's history.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't respectfully disagree more with my co-panelists. You know, this, you know, there are a number of factors that can clearly prove that, you know, the kind of rigging that is being alleged by Mr. Khan and others, it just didn't take place. It was impossible that would happen. First of all, the party that had just given up power and then appointed a new caretaker government, you know, lost miserably. You know, I'm talking about the Pakistan People's Party that was in government. The other thing is that, you know, this is, as you said, international observers, you know, Pakistani media organizations, Pakistani, you know, pollsters and whatnot, they all looked at it and said, you know, this was the cleanest. Now, did rigging take place, you know, at a tactical level? Of course, there's always the possibility that that has happened. And if you look at the way, you know, despite the rigging, Imran Khan's party went from one seat to 35. In parliament, and on top of that, took control of you know, an entire province and its government. So you know, you can't claim that you know there was rigging, but you want to be able to benefit from the fruits of that rigging. And so, and even yesterday, Mr. Khan cleverly said, you know, we're resigning from all you know provincial and federal parliaments. But the reality is that he did it in a way he knew that that's not the proper way. So that technically, they haven't resigned, and. He said, well, we're not resigning from the government that we control in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. So, you know, Mr. Khan is making tall claims here. And I think that there's a need to move away from sort of the emotional political discourse and to look at reality in its face.
Okay, Shahid Qureshi, let's see if you can tell us what is going on behind the scenes here. I mean, we're looking at these protests, 5 days of it. At this point, not a great turnout based on the estimates that Khan had foreseen. And Qadri, they were saying they're expecting 1 million people. I think 20 to 60,000 was what turned out. And of course, now they're moving into the red zone if they haven't already. And they want to camp out of the Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's home asking for his resignation. They already said they're going to resign their seats, even though it's not not from the new government that may be formed, which at this point doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It seems like what they're doing is bringing about polarization and perhaps violence if it engages the military there. What is the goal here, aside from the resignation? What is going on behind the scenes for this to come at this time with this type of push?
Well, first, let me respond to my colleague. The 60 to 70,000 fake, unverifiable votes claim has been made by the sitting minister of the present government. It wasn't come from Imran Khan. So this is the Nisar Ali Khan in the parliament. He said that this is the situation in the vote rigging, then which are not verified. So he this is the claim coming from the sitting government, not from Mr. Imran Khan. Now, coming back to your question, which you asked, I think Nawaz Sharif is unfortunately, he is suicidal in politics. He does things which are beyond imagination. For example, he fall in love with India, and he is still not really understanding that the Indians have changed. And in last since he's left in 97, since he hasn't realized that how far the Indians have gone in that journey of reconciliation or peace. And what is the really happening in the core issue, which is Kashmir? Now, Mr. Sharif has his wealth outside Pakistan, which has become a security threat to the national interest of Pakistan. Not only Mr. Sharif's wealth, but Mr. Zardari and all others who have their $200 billion in Swiss accounts, that is including the politicians and other elite of Pakistan who has deposited that money in Swiss accounts and their properties in UK and US and other places. Now, that wealth has become a security threat to Pakistan. And Mr. Sharif, the comments about the army and the ISI and his party ministers were overconfident. And now they haven't realized that the Indians are the aggressors. They have occupied the Kashmir. The Pakistanis haven't occupied the Kashmir. And anything happened on the ceasefire line between India and Pakistan is perfectly legal. Now, the operation of 48, now operation of 65, 71, or 97 Kargil operations, they were all legal within the international law because Pakistanis were resisting the occupation, the illegal occupation on the Indian forces. Now, on the other hand, on all four occasions, it was the Indians who crossed the international border. Now, this narrative is very hard for Mr. Nawaz Sharif to understand, that this Pakistan is not guilty of anything. Pakistan is in fact a victim of the Indian aggression as well as the oppression of the on Kashmiri people, where more than 100,000 people have been. This is a core issue.
Very
now,
well.
He went to India.
You made a point there. I'm sorry to jump in. You made your point. Keep to the rest of your thoughts, because I see that Kamran Bukhari has shaken his head on a number of occasions here. I'm sure you have a reaction. Go ahead.
I just don't know what all that has to do with what's going on right now. I mean, the Kashmir issue is there. Yeah, nobody's saying that, you know, relations with India are going to get hunky-dory tomorrow or, you know, in the near future or the foreseeable future. But the fact of the matter is that if you look at what has happened, the tensions with India have not even been reported in the Pakistani media because of this overwhelming effect that the menagerie put together by Imran Khan and Tahrir Qadri has had on, you know, the national psyche. This not even being reported, that the fact that the Pakistani ambassador wanted to meet with Kashmiri dissident leaders, and in reaction, the Indians have called off, you know, secretary-level talks. That's a major story, but it's not because of this domestic situation. I think we need to focus on this domestic situation because there's no use talking about anything else until this issue gets resolved. And if you look at with the way the army, the ISI, the government, the opposition parties, including Imran Khan's own ally, Jamaat-e-Islami, you know, there's now evidence that Imran Khan is not even listening to his allies who share government with him in KPK province. And so right now, Imran Khan, it seems, is leading the charge, and he's convinced his people that, you know, victory is at hand, and he defines victory as Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif throwing in the towel. And, you know, and that is creating a huge risk of violence. So they're sitting in front of Parliament, and they're allowed to sit in front of the Prime Minister's office. How long? How long before the crowds thin out, or how long before desperation sets in, and these, they're the leaders in Imran Khan and associates, or their followers, engage in violence? And so, you know, this is the issue at hand that needs to be discussed.
One of the issues that has been in some papers ridiculed, which we're going to come back and ask you about that, Shahid Qureshi, is Imran Khan saying to the people not to pay their utility bills. But before I get a reaction from you on that, let's first take a listen to some of the viewer comments as posted on our Facebook page.
It's the beginning of a peaceful revolution. Hopes are high. Revolution is never peaceful, but at the first place it should be revolution, and it doesn't come with changing faces only. The system is needed to be changed. Introduction of political reform is what protesters are voicing support for. Pakistani government should heed to civilians' demand and call for transparent election and drafting of new constitution, or else risk the wrath of common Pakistani citizens. It seems that the only change these protesters are sure to bring is a more divided Pakistan. Peaceful revolution is brewing in Pakistan against a monopolistic, corrupt system. has nothing to do with the working class of Pakistan. There seems to be a split in the establishment.
Some of the viewer comments as posted on the Facebook page. God, there's such good ones here. But Shahid Qureshi, first, the reaction that has come from the coverage of Imran Khan has not been too positive, especially the statement he made where he said for Pakistanis not to pay their utility bills. Are we looking at the fact that this move is meant to either weaken or oust Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif? I mean, is that going to be, even if it were to take place, a smooth transition in a country of 180 million people, of which democracy has been very fragile, to say the least?
Well, I think my colleague must understand that this whole thing happening today is accumulated for the past 14 months. It is just not like a 1 month, one fine morning, Imran Khan got up and walking, marching to Islamabad. That's not the case. And what Mr. Sharif's government has did in response towards Indian aggression, I'm talking about the water bombing, I'm talking about the dams on the Pakistani rivers, I'm talking about the Indus Water Treaty. These are very core issues. We want peace with India. Everybody wants peace with India. Nobody wants fight with India. But you should understand who is the victim and who is the aggressor. It's like in Palestine, like if you listen to the Western media, it seems like the Palestinians have occupied Israel. But that is not the case. Similar case in Kashmir, it's the Indians who have occupied the Kashmir, the Pakistanis hasn't. So this needs to understood. And no, if people don't understand or people are shying away from saying that, then it's very unfortunate. And Mr. Sharif, his problem is that his government is corrupt. His wealth is uncountable for, which is in UK or in other countries. Now, these are the issues which nobody, you and I, are not responsible. It's Mr. Sharif is responsible, and he has to answer for it. Now, the question Mr. Imran Khan is asking are perfectly legitimate question. He has a party. His party has won 7.6 million votes in Pakistan. He's the second largest party. Apart from all the rigging, he's the second largest party in Pakistan. Now, what he's saying that we are asking for the electoral reform. We want electronic voting so we don't have any chances of fake votes or corruption into it. Now, all these things he's asking are perfectly legal. Now, the way he wants these things to be done, it is debatable. People can debate it. He has parliamentary seats. But on the other hand, Mr. Qadri has got his fingers in too many pies. He is on the one hand copying him the Iranian revolution. He has got some Shia leaders next to him, some Sunni leader, and he has not a single seat in the parliament. Now, Mr. Qadri has come from Canada, and his credentials are quite suspicious, according to a few analysts, the way he is taking this whole issue forward. Okay. Although nobody is denying his what the question he's raising, but marching to Islamabad and protesting, these 50,000, 40,000 people are not the true representative of 180 million people. But having said that, at the same time, the present government must negotiate with Imran Khan and all the stakeholders, and they come. No, they didn't. It was too late for them. And this issue with Nawaz Sharif has been happened three times in the past.
Great. Because let's ask that from Kamran Bukhari. Kamran Bukhari, our guest there says that no, they didn't. I believe the Kamran government did extend a hand. But you tell us your reaction to what Shahid Qureshi said there.
That in the sense that the Sharif government took a long time to take this seriously. And this is a criticism that is across the board by nonpartisan analysts that, look, had you taken care of this back in, you know, December or January or whenever, and it wouldn't have reached this far. And I think that the I agree with him about, you know, Mr. Qadri's attitude, but I think that the government, miscalculated or it was a bad error in judgment when police tried to take down the group of protesters in Lahore that resulted in 14 deaths. Now, that is a serious issue. The fact that the provincial law minister had to resign shows how worried the government was and still is. So, yes, there's been mishandling. But right now, it's Mr. Khan who is playing hard to get. And frankly speaking, I've been trying to analyze his behavior. It seems that he's caught between two worlds, one in which he wants to seek an exit strategy from all of this because he knows he's riled up a lot of people, and he's going to disappoint them And if he doesn't disappoint them, then he has to engage in some sort of action that's not legal, and it could result in violence. And I don't think Mr. Imran Khan wants to go that far. So he's trying to extract concessions. But on the other hand, he's also swayed by the rhetoric that he himself has spun up. So he's a prisoner of his own rhetoric and his own mobilization at the same time. So we're looking at a very complex standoff, and it'll require a lot of, you know, political acumen on the part of at least the government and those surrounding the quote-unquote, you know, seasoned politicians that have joined the ranks of Imran Khan's party, who, by the way, are not clean as by any stretch of the imagination either. So they should be advising him at this point on how to back down.
Why are they not clean? Why do you say that? Can you tell us reasons?
Well, they face the same allegations that Mr. Shahid is talking about. You know, some of them are from Pakistan People's Party. Some of them are from Mr. Nawaz Sharif's party. Some of them are from, you know, other rival factions of the Muslim League who were with Mr. Musharraf. And so, you know, it's not as if, you know, we're looking at a good versus evil scenario. It's not. The reality is far more gray than most people want to believe.
Very well. We got a couple minutes left only. Shahid Qureshi, please tell us fact or fiction. Some reports indicate that aides to Mr. Sharif and many opposition politicians.
I will take the cat out of the bag. The reality of placement of Mr. Sharif in Pakistan, as according to some analysts, was to place an India-friendly government in Pakistan and anti-Pakistan government in Afghanistan. So in this way, you are sandwiched. So now if you look at the results in Afghanistan, the people who were winning the elections in Afghanistan were Abdullah, they were all have anti-Pakistan rhetoric. They were all pro-India, Northern Alliance. That was the people who were winning the government in India and in Afghanistan are very close to each other. Now, in Pakistan, Nawaz Sharif is pro-India. Now, if you put all two and two together, you will realize that why is Nawaz Sharif's government allowed a Jio television to criticize the Pakistan ISI chief for an attack on a journalist in Karachi? What has it got to do with him? And for 8 hours, the demonization of the military forces, the demonization of the security institutions in the sitting government, and Mr. Sharif went to see the journalist, but he didn't went to...
Great question. Let's get Kamran Bukhari an answer for that. Kamran Bukhari, can you answer what Sheikh Qureshi said? And that'll be the final statements from you.
I think I don't think Mr. Sharif is looking at India or Afghanistan in his calculus. Right now it's about survival, and it's increasingly becoming so. Prior to Imran Khan's rally and this whole uprising, he was trying to find a way to establish some form of civilian supremacy over the military. Therefore, he was he could have allowed Jio television to badmouth the ISI chief, which I thought was uncalled for. But you know, this is a very complex game here, and I think that nobody's really looking at strings beyond Pakistan. I think that
I got to jump in. We're fresh out of time. We were just getting started. I wish we had more time. That was political commentator Shahid Qureshi from London, and thank you, Vice President of Middle Eastern and South Asian Affairs, also at Stratford, Kamran Bukhari, who spoke to us from Ontario. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tagway, entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.